If you got your Bibles, you want to read with us, and I'd encourage you to do that. Y'all been around me long enough to know now that I make mistakes reading. If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. My wife said something to me 2 or 3 weeks ago that I hadn't been able to get away from. I don't get my thoughts from my wife or nobody else, far as that goes, but everybody can say something that'll touch your heart. God has given me thoughts from what other preachers preached, just different things, songs and the sun rising in the morning, going down in the evening. I've got thoughts from everything before, and he can give you thoughts any way he wants to. He's God. And I've got where I don't deny that. I know he is, and I ain't. But she mentioned something I hadn't been able to get away from. Like I said, it's been about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and finally I feel like now that it might be time to try to look at it, but it's a Lord hedge. And I'd ask you if you would pray for us today that there's a song out there, I can't remember right now exactly who sings it, but it says in the song, "Nothing can touch me unless it goes through his hand." And I believe that in all my heart. I don't believe Satan has no more power than what God lets him have. None. He can't do nothing to me unless God gives him authority to do it to me. And so today my prayer is, I ain't going to be able to tell you why the hedge might be Lord in your life. I can't tell you that. But I can say this. I can say this, and I believe it in all my heart. God will not put nothing on you that he don't know that you can withstand. And I believe this in all my heart. It's for us. It's for us to be able to... he don't have to prove to the devil what we are. And he don't have to prove to nobody else what we are. But when we go through these trials and these fires and the things get tough and they get hard, it's for us to be able to prove to ourselves what we are. There comes a time that you get to show what you are and how you handle yourself. And I want you to know, you say, "Well, Brother Jeff, you ain't been through what I've been through." No, I may not have. But I want you to know I've probably been through some things you've never been through too. But listen, what's going to prove what you are is how you handle yourself through the trial. It's how you treat your brothers and sisters. How you show your light. You don't let it be dimmed and go out, but you let it get brighter that people might be able to see that. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come in visions," this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, "and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether it be in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he is caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I will desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Though the abundance of the revelations there was given to me, a thorn in the flesh," listen, "the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, at least I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might but depart from me. And he said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in the infirmities and the reproaches and the necessities and the persecutions and the distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And our thought in this, and the messenger of Satan buffet me. And I want to talk about a lower hedge. And we'll get over to Job in a little while. We'll talk about that hedge being lowered. But listen to me. It said a messenger of Satan buffet him and come and struck him. The Lord was buffet. And he was smote. And we'll find it. Job was smote. But listen, today it said a messenger of Satan, a messenger most of the time is an angel. And listen to me. I want you to know the devil has angels. Peter said hell was made for the devil and his angels. So it was an angel of the devil. A common buffet, Paul. We ought to get caught up in what was the thorn of his flesh. Some say it was his eyesight. I have no idea. But I know God let Satan somehow come to Paul and have a little bit. I thought over him, what was it for? Maybe that he wouldn't get lifted up about measure what he is. I don't know, but whatever it was to humble this man. Amen. And I want you to know it wasn't to prove to me and you how strong Paul was, even though it has proved to me. But it was for Paul to be able to say his grace is sufficient. Listen today, I know some of you, I know Kyle, it just seems like strike after strike keeps coming. But listen to me, there's an opportunity you have now in weakness to be able to show Christ. Amen. Church, we have an opportunity. I don't know why the hedge has been lowered about us for a little while. I don't know why the minister of Satan, the angel of Satan has come and have just a little bit of authority to get at us a little bit. I have no idea. But I know one thing, how we handle this is going to prove what we really are. I want you to know how you handle everything that you go through. It's going to prove what you are. And you ain't got to prove it to me. You ain't got to prove it to nobody. God already knows what you are. What you got to prove it to is yourself. Whether you have the faith or not, that's between you and God. It ain't for me to say. But I want you to know how when we go through these things, and I've been there. And you say you ain't been where I've been. Absolutely, I have not. I've not been where you've been. But I've been to where I had to put my trust in the Lord. I have been to where my friends have turned their backs on me. I have been to where a man I had so much respect for and love pushed me away and it hurt me. I've been to places where I've lost loved ones. I've been to places where I've seen my family torn apart. I've seen my baby, good babies hurt. I've seen all kinds of things that has killed me. But through that, I've tried my best to never come across as weak. Never come across that I don't trust the Lord can take care of it. Right now, I've got a daughter. I've got blood work come back, man. I don't know what's going to happen to that. But I tell you one thing. Whatever it is, I pray I'll stand and be strong for the Lord. Because the hedge will get lowered in my life just like it will yours. And when it does, I'll have my opportunity to prove what I am. I pray I never get to thinking above what I am, because I know I'm nothing. Satan was traveling to and fro, in and out of the earth. Amen. Walking in and out, going, seeing like a lion whom he may devour. And the Lord just said, have you considered my servant Job? Amen. There's none like him.
I want you to know, he asked him, have you considered him? It wasn't the fruit of the devil. He couldn't get him. He knew he couldn't. It wasn't to prove to himself what a servant Job was. It was to Job to be able to prove to himself what he was. Satan said this. He said, hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all his house? On every side thou hast made a blessed work of his hands, and his substance increased in the land. Listen, this man, God had blessed him with children. He had blessed him with all kind of cattle, sheep, and asses. He had it all. And what we might see, that's the way life is. You'll be going along, everything real smooth, everything real good. And just like that right there, it changes. So there was a hedge about him. And I'll be honest with you, nothing could touch him. But God lowered the hedge. He told him, he said, you can't touch everything but his life. And I believe what he meant there was his real life, was his soul. He come and he took his children. He took all of his substance, everything he had. Every time he turned around, a messenger would come running. Your children was there. They was eating and drinking and having a big time. Everything was okay. And then all of a sudden, it come and the house was destroyed and they're gone. And then here come a master right after that and said, all your servants have been killed. And then come a master after that and all your livestock is gone. Listen to me, that man, he stood up and rent his clothes. And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it wasn't over then. And then here it come again. And the Lord said unto Satan, how in the second chapter, how thou consider my servant Job. There's none like him on earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil and still holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou moodest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered, Lord, I said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said, and Satan, behold, he is thy hand, but save his life. And so went Satan up forth from his presence of the Lord, and he smote Job with sores and boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him and a posture to scrape himself without, and he sat down among the ashes. Then his wife unto him, doest thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of a foolish woman speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips? I want you to know, he got down to a point that he not only lost everything he had, but he got down to a point that he was covered in sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and he took around and took pieces of the pottery. I believe he dug out the ashes and scraped himself. It ain't no doubt. I don't know if he had leprosy or what was wrong with him, but he was covered, miserable in all this. And all he said is, it rains on the just and the unjust. The Lord left him with his wife, and what he's left with told him just to curse God and die. Now tell me where you at. Now explain to me where you at. As he sat there in that pile of ashes, digging at his sores, stinking no doubt because infection running out from him, balls all over this man with nothing, nothing at all left to his name. And his wife, what he had left, wanted him to die. Just get out of here, Job. I'm sick of you. Praising God through all this. That's what she wanted. Him to shut up and quit praising God. But a man didn't. His friends come around. They said, look, you had to do something wrong, Job. You need to repent and get your life in order. Job still kept his integrity, helped himself, and stayed strong through it all. In the end, he prayed for his friends. And when he did, God blessed him. Mother Michael missed it this Wednesday night in his sermon. I done had it on my heart. Peter and them had been arrested, beaten for preaching Jesus. They took him, and one named Gamaliel stood up and told him they didn't need to fight against God. And they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed to the presence of the council and rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name. Listen to me. Honey, you may not get beaten. You may not get put in prison. But what did Paul say over there a while ago? That he might suffer. He might suffer persecution. He might be cursed. He may even go through these things. Listen to me. I don't know how he's going to come after us. Peter had a chance there. You remember how he denied the Lord the 3 times. And no doubt that it went and haunted him ever since he went out weeping from the far of the old world. But there he had a chance. After he was beaten and thrown in prison, he went out rejoicing because he was able to suffer for the Lord's sake. I've seen God more in you in the last 6 months than has been seen in my lifetime since I was saved as a 14-year-old boy. I seen a sister up here on the altar said basically the same thing Job said. She didn't realize it. I don't believe she realized it a bit. She said, thank you, Lord, for what you've given, and thank you for what you've taken away. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't think you realized you were saying that then, but that was exactly what you were saying. I've seen you sit here in that corner and not give up. Don't you ever give up. I've seen you sit there. Yes, you'll get down, but don't ever give up. Sister Jamie, don't give up. There is something to work for. Daniel Carina, and for the moment I seen y'all crushed, all y'all was concerned about was lost people. I can't believe that. I can't believe somebody could lose all that and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. But you did, and you have ever since. Why was the hedge, Lord? I don't understand. But I want you to know you can prove to yourself what you are to God. Or you can prove to how little you are. When Peter was tested by the fire, as he sat by the fire with the world, he failed. He denied him. And the Lord come by And I believe they made eye contact. Peter heard that cock crow. He was crushed. He went out crying. He wailed. But that time, he had a chance. He said, "I'm better to obey God or man." And he suffered, and they beat him. They throwed him in prison, and they had a chance, they thought, to stop this man from preaching Jesus. Stop him in his tracks. No, Satan had an opportunity to stop that man, and he come out rejoicing that he was able to suffer for the Lord's name's sake. It's hard to do, ain't it? Oh, it was hard tonight. I walked to that window and I seen my sister go, like I didn't take her last breath, knowing it was me that put her there. Don't think I ain't been there. I could easily, I done owe my call to preach, done preached one sermon. I could easily say, I ain't doing it. And I ain't saying, look at me. I am saying, look at God. I couldn't quit. Nor can you. Amen. So they arrested the Apostle Paul, him and Silas. They took the casting of the spirit out of a soothsayer. Old Satan had another shot at him. The ones that was profiting from the soothsayer, the woman, they brought him up in front of the council there in the city, him and Silas, and said, these men that do things that's not of the Romans' law, it's contrary of our law. And you know what they done? They beat them. They put them in shackles. They cast them into the inner prison. And you know what these men done? You know what they done? The angel of Satan had been turned loose on them again. And you know what they done? They sang and praised glory to God. And old jailer and his household got saved. Because they felt it worthy to suffer for the Lord. I believe a double handful got saved back here just 2 or 3 months ago because the church has been through so much. We had a chance to be tried. We could have failed. We could fail under, but we kept going. And I'm like you, Mary, we ain't done nothing, but God has. We've had a chance to prove what we are. Not to the world, not to our sister churches, not even to God. He knows what we are. We've had a chance to prove it to ourselves. So in the end, the Apostle Paul got to die for Christ's sake. In the end, according to history, I can't prove it. They say Peter was crucified upside down for Christ's sake. And if I die standing in a pulpit and you say, brother, not one of you, he told me the other day, he said, I started to get worried about you. I thought you was going to have a heart attack. If I do, then if I can suffer a little bit for Christ's sake. If one soul sat there and said he loved the Lord enough, they say you pour your heart out. Give it. Give it. Give it, brother. I love to see you teach. He stands up there, tears rolling down his cheeks. He ain't a preacher, but boy, he's wise. He knows where his help comes from. Give it. Give it. Give it all you got. If you hear a day lost, give it to him. You say, well, why would I want to do that if I'm going to have to suffer the things I might have to suffer? Because He's still God. Amen. And he'll never let you go through it. You think and the hedge may have come down, but he never left your side. He was there the whole time with him. That's where his strength come from. Sitting in a pile of ashes, peeling sores off of him. His strength come from God. When his wife, no doubt, was from a distance yelling at him, why don't you curse God and die? That's what he left him with. Whew. Boy, wasn't that a pleasure. So tell me what you've been through. I'll tell you what I've been through. And it still won't touch what Christ went through. Because no matter what Job, Peter, Paul, or you went through, nothing you went through that Christ didn't suffer. The Garden of Gethsemane, where sweat become blood and agony, the whole world against him, but God for him. He said, he surrendered his will to the Father. And that's all he's asking you to do, if you're here today and lost, is surrender your will to the Father. That's all he's asking you today. Today, if you're here and you suffer the loss, unspeakable loss, he's asking you to surrender your will to the Father. Job lived sitting in ashes. That was way before the law come, and before the king sat in a sackcloth and ashes, and but Job sat in ashes anyway, humbled as he could be, as low as he could be, as far as he could go. Just like Christ, he fell down there at the Garden of Gethsemane, as low as he could go. Have you reached bottom yet? When you get to that place, and you can say, thank you, God, for what you give. And thank you for what you've taken. That proves something to me and David Swindle. It may not prove nothing else to nobody else here at night. But I sit back and I went, how can you do that? Only by the power of God. How can you just keep going? How can you do it? Only by the power of God. That's the only way. I don't know why the hedge. I don't know why he lowered it. You know my hard job. Last 2 years trying to pastor a church in a parking lot, looking through windshields, looking at the heart of your church, pillars of your church, going through things, and you can't help them. All you do is pray and do the best you can. Ask God to give you thoughts to help them. And you go through this and listen to me. Countless nights. You're right, brother. Countless nights. You take everything you can to help you sleep, and all you need is the peace of God. Watch young ladies' hearts be broke. So I'll answer your question. I still don't know why he lowered the hedge. But I know one thing. I'm so thankful for what Job went through. And you say, how can you say that? Because we've got something to go back and read in the Amen. Word of God.
Amen.
and know when we get so down that we don't think we go any further, when the whole world thinks we ought to quit and cuss God. We just keep going.
Amen.
We keep going.
Amen.
Because we know He's good.
Amen.
And we know in the end, we're all going to be together again. Job didn't lose no children. He gained them.
Amen.
He gained children. Job didn't lose no substance. It was all doubled. You ain't lost a husband. You ain't lost a child. You ain't.
Amen.
If they've been saved by God's grace, you ain't lost nothing.
Amen.
They just got home before you did, Daniel.
That's right.
Ain't that what you told us? Just beat you home by a little bit. And it's just a little bit, brother. See, between now and that time that you get to go be with her again, you get to prove to yourself that you got it. And the whole world, just like with Job, can see an example of what you are. It's easy to quit. Trust me. I quit school just as a boy. Walked out and didn't need it. Didn't think I did. I did. Didn't think I did. It's easy to quit. It's easy to quit marriages.
Yeah, that's
right. It's easy to just walk away from it. It's easy to quit church.
Yeah.
You don't. I've done it. Just walk out and just. What's hard to do is keep going. When the whole world thinks you ought to quit, keep going. That's what's hard. That's my little thought. I pray that this will be something to help you.
Amen.
Because I promise you, if anybody's here today and thinks, how can you preach something like that? How can you hurt them? You think I'm trying to hurt you?
No.
If you think that, boy, you've missed it. I'm trying to show you you're not the first one's been through it. As he hung on the cross after he's buried in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? And he gave up the ghost. Now, let me tell you about what I've been through some more.